If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love. That is the all it is. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. Cosmic pep talks for closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is observing our multidimensional, soul-transcending consciousness. So if you're ready, take a deep breath. And just come present. Imagining yourself as a extension from the very, very heart of divine source, of living love, of omnipresent living love. And just allow that to displace every other sense of identity that you have placed upon yourself. Quietly focus. Gently focus. Behind your eyes. In the center of your head. And take another deep breath. And this time, just expand the light of your being. And let it fill the aura around your body. Now keep expanding it. Keep expanding it. Don't go up or down, just expand from that center point of light within your head. Until you experience yourself as a limitless ocean. It's everywhere. Everywhere. And it's pure love. Notice, if you will, as on all oceans, there are waves that keep arising and merging again with the sea. Just watch the waves rise and merge. Rise and merge. Now for a moment, just identify yourself as one of those waves. Feel the swell of the ocean under you. Feel your essence rising up and cresting in a wave, glittering in the sun for a second and then merging back into that ocean. Now experience yourself as that ocean, ride that gentle wave action, and begin to experience yourself rising within each of those waves, and merging again into the ocean. Rising up as a wave and merging again. But this time you're experiencing yourself as both the ocean and the waves. Very good. Very good. Use that as your meditation if you like, periodically. Don't make it into a ritual, but bring yourself into that state where you feel yourself as that wave, and then as that merging, so that you're aware that you are that ocean of omnipresent love. You are the ocean of omnipresent love. And that ocean is of consciousness. It contains all of the wavelets of experiential episodes that you've had in time, space, causality. It contains also that transcendent state that goes beyond the phenomenal manifestation of conditioned experience. For consciousness could be regarded as the totality of that which has been actuated and individuated in the psychic and material realms beneath the absolute plane of pure soul awareness. Or atmic awareness. So there is a level beyond the experiential realm of consciousness itself, which has its objects and its subjects and its seeming differences. But when you are centered in the seat of soul, the very center of your head, you can see forever. Your vision is not limited to the two orifices in the front of your head. You have an awareness that is at the same time omnipresent and all-seeing. This is a place of respite from the phenomenal world of impermanence and ever-shifting plays of consciousness, which constitute the realm of consciousness itself. So within the realms beneath the soul that we define as completed creation, that we are simply revisiting in the illusion of time, space and sequence, we are revisiting and importing divine soul transcendent awareness, the light, the supernal supreme light, into those realms. We are the conduits, as it were, of that flowing of conscious sentiency into the realms of inert matter, sleeping. And asleep in a dream of separation. So take another deep breath and be aware of where you are consciously manifested on this planet. Let's take this planet. Notice that there are certain places on the planet that are always present in the background of your awareness. Just notice that. There are certain individuals that are always present in the background of our awareness. We have a way of saying, I'm always with you. My thoughts are with you. I feel like I'm always with you, even though I've not seen you for a long time. We have these ways of speaking. But few of us have consciously registered them as multidimensional states, in which we are operating and serving, that are part of our, let's say, Merkaba, our relational field, in which we do the divine work as divine agents. Notice there are certain countries, certain issues that are being worked out on the planet, certain individuals that are in your awareness at the background all the time. For example, I am always in India. I am always at Prashanti Nilayam, the ashram of Sai Baba. And I notice that devotees of Sai Baba that have ever visited Prashanti Nilayam, they're always there in an etheric form that I could see very clearly. Like, oh, we never leave. We're always there. I'm also always in Israel. Not only have I had powerful past lives in Israel and India, but they're lands that I'm working with all the time on the subtle planes. I'm always in Egypt. It's another powerful lives for me. So just notice, and those are just a few of the ones that are pop up for me right now, but just notice what pops up for you. You are there serving. Be aware of that. Wake up to the fact that you are an omnipresent, multidimensional, soul-transcending consciousness all the time. You won't know that unless you look. You can believe it. You can hope it's true. You can wish or fantasize or visualize it might be true, but you won't know until you look. How do you look? You look inside your head, inside your screen of vision, your inner scanner. Scan like a radar. Just see that consciousness scanning, tuning in, watching what shows up, what drops into your awareness, what appears in your knowing. How do you intake information? Are you visual, auditory, tactile? Do you feel things? Or have you moved to that state where you can access your direct knowing? That's where it's all headed. Because the other fact, aside from your being omnipresent, is that you are omniscient. You are all-knowing. There is nothing you do not know, but you simply have needed to bring it forward into your conscious awareness. We have said again and again that you are made in the image and likeness of God as pure light, omnipresence, omniscience, and omnipotence. You're everywhere present, you're all-knowing, and you're all-powerful. And what is true of God is equally true of you. As a wave within the ocean of consciousness, the wave is identical to the ocean. Remember that. No difference. But don't limit yourself to the appearance of the wave and assume that it's separate. Nor is the ray of the sun separate from the sun. That's another analogy you can meditate on. Get over the sense of singular, separate identity. And shift your awareness from identifying with your singular personal self, with a name and a birth date and so forth, shift that to identifying yourself as that ocean of love, that ocean of awareness. Call it soul if you like. Call it whatever you will. But keep expanding. Expansion is your life. Expansion. Expansion is life. And love is inclusiveness. Unconditional embracement and inclusiveness. Ending, of course, in the sense of complete oneness with all life. But all life is one, all life is connected, and every single thing that occurs, as it has been said, the flutter of a butterfly's wing affects the entirety of the continuum that we call life. The great ocean of existence and life is affected by everything that we individually say, think, and do, as if we were individual. We're not. That's the illusion. So that's how impactful your awakening to who you are is. So have you noticed how many states of consciousness pass through your awareness both day and night? You are constantly passing in and out of multidimensional states and perceptions, moment by moment. The entirety of creation is at play and flowing through you and in you and as you. In the highest sense, you are that vast field of omnipresent consciousness that we're talking about. You as the divine Atma are the enactor, the player, the animator of all these roles, the cause of the arising of all these wavelets and their merger. Yes, that's a big shift from believing you're a miserable little prison personality, huh? Sai Baba said that seems to be a game that we're enjoying playing, this being a limited human being. And that we can doff it and dispense with it any time we're truly fed up with it. So you as an immortal divine essence are a play of multiple states of consciousness within a boundless sea of divine love. Now at the physical level, we are remembering and returning to that awareness. So notice, every day and every night, your state of consciousness keeps entering and exiting different dimensional realms. For example, before I went to sleep last night, as I usually do on Tuesday night, I ask the Holy Spirit to please seed my consciousness with what I am to share in the seminar on Wednesday. And I came directly from an experience on the inner realms of where I was addressing an endless sea of beings. And it was speaking about the mysteries of consciousness. And then just bam, I was back in my body, and it was such a vivid experience. Bam, I was back in my human body, opening my physical eyes, and it was all vanished. I was here in this dimension. So have you? Of course you have. Have you noticed how absolutely tangibly real that world in the dream was and those people you were interacting with? Every bit as real and tactile as the physical plane when you open your eyes. Notice that if you haven't. It never ceases to amaze me how I can go from a world filled with people I love. For example, have you ever awakened with the kiss of your lover still pressed upon your lips? Have you ever awakened from a dream where you were married and deeply in love with a person that you never even saw in this dimension? You have no idea who they are? Have you ever dreamt of having a baby and you're nursing it at your breast and you're holding it in your arms and you're so thrilled of this beautiful baby and you wake up and it was all a dream. It all vanished. That astounds me. It never ceases to draw my interest and fascination at all of these lives that we live on all of these levels. And we dismiss them as, oh, that's just a dream. But according to the masters, the illumined people, men and women who have awakened beyond the phenomenal worlds of appearance and impermanence, they all regard us as being sound asleep. We're walking around, we seem to have a life, we're talking, we're going to jobs, we're exchanging, you know, but we're sound asleep. Sound asleep. And so when the time to awaken comes, there becomes a haunting discontent, a gnawing longing. It's a feeling where you have you feel like you have everything physically that a person should want, okay? Maybe you're married to the love of your life. Maybe you have a wonderful home, plenty of money in your bank account, a good job with benefits, children that are behaving themselves and going to school and college and making something of their lives. Maybe you've got all that in place. Maybe there's not a thing that you could not have if you wanted it. You could travel. You could take courses. You could do this. You could do that. But you're still not happy. You're not fulfilled. That is the call of the divine. That is the prompting of the inner master ringing your bell, tugging at your shirt tail. It's time to wake up. And from that moment on, you're going to do what you have to do to find that place of fulfillment. And you're going to try everything. You're going to look everywhere in the world because that seems to be what we all do. We're going to look in relationships. We're going to look in all sorts of sensual indulgences, hobbies, pastimes, whatever, until we find that nothing has done it. Nothing has filled our cup. Nothing has given us that peace. Instead, the more we have, the more we worry. The more security we need around our house to guard our so-called possessions. The more we wonder if our spouse has a wandering eye or if we've lost our sex appeal. But there's no peace. There's no rest. Because things come and go in our life. People enter and leave. And people sometimes that stay, they die. Everything is impermanent. Not even our own self can be depended upon to be permanent when you look at the body. Where's the infant that you were? Huh? Where? It disappeared into the child. Where's that child that you were? Huh? It disappeared into the adult. Where is that adult going to disappear into the aged person. Where is that aged person going to disappear? Into the dream of death. Where is that dream of death going to lead you? Well, if you have desires, it'll lead you back to the physical planet where you can fulfill your desires. Because what you're interested in, what you desire, you must have. You absolutely must have all your desires fulfilled. That's the way it is. You keep coming back and back again. Because desire is what creates rebirth. But at some point, you only desire the beloved. You only desire the love of God. And that doesn't lead to rebirth. That leads to your awakening from the dream. Can you do it without love? I don't think so. In my experience, no. In my experience, love is the fulfilling of the law, the fulfilling of the longing, the fulfilling of the seeking, the fulfilling of everything. Love is the greatest, and in my understanding, only power. Everything else is mood-making of the mind. Power is purity, divinity, and love. But you're all the same thing. So be aware, too, that while you are in that realm, wherever you are in your dream, and including this physical realm, generally speaking, you are completely unaware of any other life or realm. I mean, you know, it doesn't take any moment at all to check that out to see that it's absolutely true. While you are within one realm, you are unaware of the others. Now, when you depart that realm, the memory of having been there rapidly fades. Why is that? Well, your consciousness is consistent with the realm that you've taken to be your operational field, where you're operating, where you believe that you're the doer and the participant at that level. It's appropriate to that level. But when you shift to another level, that new level requires a new approach. That's why those of us who have been initiated by the mystical traveler are gradually taken up level by level by level, where we can identify the level that we're on and how to operate within that specific field of consciousness. We're taught how to do that. We are safely protected and shown the pitfalls of each of those realms, because each of those realms is presided over by a great lord, let's say, that is the embodied essence of that particular dimensional realm. And I'll tell you, they're very territorial. They want to keep you in their playground. And they will, every one of them, tell you that they're it, that there is nothing further beyond them. I found that out with God forms. They all are territorial. They're attached to their creation, as we all are. We get attached to what we think we've given birth to or we've created. And the gods are no different than that. Are there many gods? Yes. Many, 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 many. Gods. All different realms and levels have their gods and goddesses. Is there one supreme all there is? Source? Yes. But that you cannot say anything about at all. It is completely beyond our reckoning at this level. So, when we leave those dream states, Wow, it's amazing how fast they fade. That's why if you can hold yourself and not jump up and run to the bathroom when you wake up, if you can just jot down A few trigger words to remember are traced back to that experience you just had. It's a good idea. It helps to make that connecting link. Because as soon as you've gotten up and go to the bathroom, it's gone. It's finished. Or you can keep repeating it over and over and over and over in your mind. Sometimes that works. But when you are fully merged in that higher state of soul awareness or God consciousness, there are no memories because there's no carryover. All is completed and nothing else needs to be done with that. Memories are caught up in the causal body, which is the seedbed of your karma. Okay? So when the karma is absolved and dissolved from that particular level, there's no memory. I wondered why there's this like whole huge blocks of my life that I have absolutely no recall of at all. And one of my very, very wise friends that I shared that with said, well, because you were in higher awareness. You were in soul awareness. And there's no memory there. It's like, oh, well, that makes sense. So if you're starting to lose whole blocks of your past, of your phenomenal life, consider that it might be because you've finished the karma in that level, and there's no need to bring forward any memory of it. It's done. It's a completed momentum. So, notice how your consciousness is manifesting itself. For example, you can tell what dimension you're operating on by noticing the feel of it. For example, if you're operating in the astral plane, you're going to have a very visual sense of morphing forms. One thing changes into another, into another, into another. Maybe you're having chasing dreams, or there will be some emotive drama connected with it, usually very strong feelings. Sometimes you'll wake up and you've just been sobbing. Your whole front of your night clothing is wet from tears. You've got tears in your ears. You've been in the astral or causal realm working through something that you had to confront emotionally. Because each of those levels is also a school of consciousness that you're going through. Bear in mind that if you're in training to become a spiritual traveler, as all of us are who are students of John Roger, we're all in training to become mystical travelers, or we have been travelers in the past. But we're learning how to master each of those dimensions so that we can help other souls make that passage through those realms and not get stuck in them. That's what a traveler does. A traveler is a divine escort for souls to help them get home to the God planes, to the divine realms of God. And the first thing you have to do is get that human personality in alignment with its soul, identified with its soul, and beginning to operate in higher spiritual awareness. And then gradually, 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 it awakens within that vast ocean of omnipresence that we've been speaking of. But you need a guide. You need someone who has the keys of soul transcendence who can actually take you level by level, not only take you there, but secure you there in your consciousness so that you've not only been initiated into a level, you have been anchored in that level, because you have been taught how to operate in that level. But if you don't pay attention to your daily experience, all of this wonderful stuff is just going to not be registered at all. And why shouldn't you enjoy the trip at a conscious level if you can? Huh? I suppose you can sleep your way through it, I don't know. But I sure don't want to miss the nuances and the enjoyment of the journey. So we marvel at the fact that a life can be so real at one level, fade upon awakening, and then we're in another life that's every bit as real, but we're told that it's equally a dream. We're told that when we awaken, this whole universe will disappear. Gary Menard's wonderful book, The Disappearance of the Universe. I started having those disappearing dreams. Well, I had a foretaste of them back in the early to mid-70s, right after I'd come back from seeing Sai Baba. But the last 4 or 5 years, I've had them repeatedly, and I found out that that is called samadhi. I didn't know. Who knows about these things? But it's a state of where you go into the nirvi kalpa state, where there everything vanishes in pure white light. If you stay in that state more than 21 days, your body drops away too and vanishes. Like a dried leaf, Sai Baba said, it just falls away. So I've been put in and out of that state repeatedly so that I can learn how to hold my vibration low enough at this level that I can teach and work with people, because that's the job assignment this instrument has been given to do. I'm to share with you these things in very practical, grounded ways, so that when you start having these experiences, you'll know what's going on. And you won't be afraid. You'll know how your consciousness works because you've watched it. You've observed it. You've taken the time to really check things out and experience them for yourself, because that's the only way you're going to know. So within the sea of consciousness that is really our own expanded self, multidimensional worlds and realms arise and dissolve like endless waves. In fact, you could regard each of your lifetimes and every experience that you've ever had as like waves arising and then dissolving back into the allness of that divine love. And just as one life is forgotten when we fall asleep, and another life appears to unfold in our dreams, so all of these lives follow the same pattern. They arise for their little season, their little cycle of manifestation, and then they dissolve back into the all that is. And that applies to not only human beings, but planets and solar systems and galaxies and all of creation. In the Vedic teaching, they're called the days and the nights of Brahman, or God, the days and nights of God, where everything has its incarnational cycle, and then it has its dormant cycle. Everything in nature has its cycle when it blooms and its cycle when it's dormant. Our states of consciousness, our lifetimes, follow these same cycles. You'll have one lifetime when you're out there in the world really shaking and making things happen, followed by a lifetime in which practically nothing happens, or you may be a recluse or a monk or whatever. So these cycles are natural and normal. I often hear you people complaining because you're out of work. You have a season of time when you're on, unemployment or whatever. Enjoy that, for heaven's sakes. You're being given a divine respite, a divine vacay. Enjoy it. Don't spend every single day worrying about getting a job. Don't you know who takes care of you? Don't you know there is one source that supplies and sustains all of life? It's the Almighty Absolute, in whom you live and move and have your being, who takes care of everything. Every blade of grass, every bird, every flower, everything that exists is sustained and cared for by the Creator. So learn to trust that you are worthy of your hire. You are worthy of full divine provision and care. And make your life something beautiful. for God. Live a life of loving service, of loving compassion. The whole universe will flock to support the lover. The whole universe will rush to take care of you and protect you when you live in a state of divine love. So the only constant factor in all of these states of consciousness, in the dream state, the waking state, the state where you're totally identified with being an individual human being, and the state when you're fully God-realized, the only constant factor is the sense of I. Yeah, I. So you go from the limited little petty I, the me and mine, all of that kind of I, to the I am, that lives and dwells in the hearts of all beings. That's the vastness that you move into when you fully awaken. The whole of the earth becomes your living room. Every single person becomes an embodiment of your own self. And you love. You are just love. Because only love is truth. Only love is power. Only love is God. And love is all sufficient. So within the sea of multidimensional worlds and realms, we see these waves, these seasons, these cycles, these appearances rise and have their time and then dissolve back into the love that always is. And we learn to trust that. We regard the whole... Ashtar took me one time on a trip throughout the galaxies and showed me the divine romance between the planets, the conjugal union between the different star systems. They're enjoying divine intercourse, divine merging, divine romantic joining. Everything is making love in the whole of creation. I don't know what in the world do people are looking at when you ask me about these demonic whatevers, these demonic entities. Be aware that those exist only in the lowest astral realms. Get out of those realms, for heaven's sake. Soul transcend into the realms of limitless love and beauty. Those subhuman realms, or demonic as you sometimes call them, are involutionary life forms that haven't yet become a humanoid. Okay? They don't have that opportunity or season in their lifespan at this time to have an individualized soul that is capable of returning in full conscious awareness to Godhood. Okay? Let them be. Leave them to God. And keep your mind out of those realms. What you keep thinking about, you keep importing into your reality. Do you want a reality filled with those ugly forms and entities? Okay? Wisen up. Keep company with the great, the godly, the holy, the pure, the enlightened. And if you can't get that kind of company physically, which is pretty rare these days, then for heaven's sakes, keep company with them through their books and their, if you can get a hold of them, their YouTubes and their discourses. But stay in the company of the godly and the God-realized. And leave the karma dramas to those who have karma within those arenas that need to be attentive to those things. And you'll know who they are because they're involved in those realms. But if you don't have an attraction or an interest in a particular realm or a desire to be involved with it, that means you have no karma with it. Ambition is actually karma. So if you're a person that completely lacks any worldly ambition, celebrate. You don't have karma to be involved in those things. When I went to have this Rigu Shastri. Read my nadis. These are ancient 5,000-year-old astrological readings done by one of the seven sages. And they say if you have a, in this case, if you have a destiny with Sai Baba, there will be a leaf that will show your connection to him, and you're destined to go at a certain time to have that reading. I think it's a broader scope than that, but that was my understanding at the time. The very first words out of the man's mouth, aside from saying that Sai Baba was my guru and his hand was upon my head, he said, "You have absolutely no interest in the world. You are only interested in God." And that's the absolute truth. I have never had any other real, really strong interest since I was a very young child. So if you have that kind of nature, it's because you're here on your last lifetime. So don't get sucked into jobs and duties and things that you think you have to do and get all tangled up in cause and effect. If you don't have any draw to be into the world, find some clever way of creating a life where you can not be involved in the world. Okay? Be clever. Don't think you have to buy into the system and keep, you know, on the gerbil wheel. Along with dreams, perhaps you may have also recalled a time when someone said you were screaming during the night. Obviously, you were having a nightmare, and yet you didn't remember anything about it. That's happened to me several times since I've been living in this house, for, as a matter of fact. And I'll be screaming. My companion said I was screaming one time for a good 10 minutes, and he came and stood in my room calling me gently, you know, "Are you all right? Are you all right?" And I just totally incorporated that in my dream. So I said, next time, don't say any kind of human words. Say Om Sai Ram, or, you know, one of the names of God, because that will awaken me. But if you just do normal talk, then, of course, I'm going to incorporate that in the dream. But I had no recall of it. I was not aware of him standing there. I was not aware of the screaming, none of it. What is that? Well, when you leave the body, okay, your basic self, your inner child, your body elemental, doesn't like it. It gets scared. And it screams for mommy, okay, or daddy, as the case may be. So that's that part of the self that has a job assignment to keep you alive and functioning and to protect your body. And it really does not like it when you are soul traveling out of the body, doing God's work, and leaving it alone in that bed. That's why sometimes when you wake up in the morning, you feel really out of sorts, grumpy, sometimes you're depressed, in a bad mood. You got to give the kid some breakfast, okay? You got to feed the basic self. Give it some coffee, some tea, some whatever it likes to drink. Give it some breakfast. And you'll notice right away it feels happy. Feed it. It's happy then. It understands that. But don't assume that you're the person having the grumpy feeling or whatever it is that came back from the night travel with you. It's the kid that you've left alone while you were out doing God's work. Now, you can tell that child that it's very fortunate because it's the basic self of an initiate, of a divine agent, and that it's going to have a very special advancement of consciousness when it's finished serving you, going on to be a basic self for somebody else. It's going to have a reward, and one day it will grow up and become a conscious human being. And that's what that little life form is on the trail of evolution to develop into a human being. And it's learning by cooperating with you in sustaining your physical life and your body functions. So just be aware of these different levels of your consciousness. be aware when you're caught up in the mind. You can always tell when you're caught up in the mind because there's certain fatigue that sets in. You feel dull, and you're not going to feel happy and lighthearted and blissful. You're going to get heavy, very heavy and serious, and it's a very non-vitalizing feeling when you're caught up in the mind. And also, when people are talking from that level, they lose your attention and they're really boring. And it's because they're only speaking to you from their head. You know, we call them talking heads. You watch them all the time on the television, right? Just talking heads. Nobody's home. They're just heads talking, spewing nonsense. So don't spew nonsense. Be conscious and attentive and bring your love and your light forward if you're going to be uttering words. Let them be words that make people happy, that uplift them, that inspire them. Baba said we should never fill the ears of people with our problems and our miseries. Why make them unhappy too? Our job is to be happy and to promote happiness in this world. And we can't do that if we're a talking head. We're going to be only talking to other talking heads, which are being driven by their ego minds. And nobody's home. Nobody's home. The soul will have nothing to do with you as long as you're in ego mode. It kind of stays in its own blissful realm and lets you run on and on and on, do your nonsense. But only when you have a desire to awaken do you get the attention of yourself as soul. It'll let that body-mind personality go on ad nauseum as long as it wants to. But the day you get serious about examining your life and awakening your multidimensional awareness and using your ability as soul to transcend above the karma dramas into that state of omnipresent love, until you learn to do that, the soul really just kind of sits back and waits for you to grow up mature enough that it can actually use you as an instrument to bring love and light and grace into this dimension. So some of you, well, you're probably not listening to me, but some of you are ready to awaken and some of you aren't. And those of you who aren't just get mad at what I have to say. They say it's all nonsense. They don't understand it. And those that really are interested, listen to me. Some of you have been listening to these seminars for, you've told me, years. And you have found that they are like doorways of sanity, apertures into greater awareness and light. So I'm very, very pleased to know that, because it means that these are helpful. These are helpful seminars that we are producing each week. And, that's what they're for. That's what they are for. The Ashtar Command has called these the voice of the Ashtar Command for the simple reason that it's the call to awaken to who you really are as a divine agent, a divine emissary, a co-worker with the Almighty Spirit. And we're a team. And we are learning together. We're initiating into higher levels of awareness together. We are working through our multidimensional journeys together. We do. We operate as a light team. And that's what the Ashtar Command is speaking to each week. Are the global bearers of light. And no, we're not here to beam you up and evacuate you and all that stuff. Those are things that people, I don't know, they get this information from some entity on the astral plane probably. But we're very practical. We want you to get your divine walk going all the way down into your sneakers. We want to see you to where you walk into a room and you light it up. You light it up. You make everybody feel better just because you walked into the room. You don't even have to open your mouth. People feel better because you're there, because you are producing that higher vibration that we at the galactic levels live in all the time. Commander Ashtar is at such an incredible high level of divine manifestation. There's no way to even make us understand what that consciousness is like at that level. It is so far beyond anything that anyone could imagine or channel or make up or great cosmic being. But he doesn't want you focused on him. He doesn't want you idolizing him. He doesn't want you praying to him and treating him as a god and creating a cult around him, which is why we don't speak a great deal about Ashtar and the Ashtar Command. We don't want another space cult, a space religion out there, okay? The Lord God that dwells in Ashtar's heart is the same Lord God that dwells in your heart, and the same Holy Spirit that did the great works through Jesus the Christ and all great masters is the same one that operates through you and through Ashtar and through every other God-realized being. It's the same juice, the same source, and that's what we want to get you connected to at a conscious level, a conscious level. Not a prayerful level where you keep projecting God outside in the heavens apart from you, but where you actually experience God dwelling in you, breathing you, beating your heart, bringing those divine revelations clearly into your mind. That's what we want to instill in each one of you so that you can be God conscious, human instruments, to which that absolute supreme love and light and joy can flow through into every dimension and every place. That is your assignment. That's your job. But when you take that on as your life's purpose is up to you, okay? We don't force, we don't coerce, we don't enlist, we lovingly invite. But know that we're all the same. We are all equal in the eyes of God. Ashtar, Lord Sananda, who is the higher divine cosmic aspect of the Master Jesus the Christ, the galactic Christ, if you will. All of these divine beings are equal with you. And I love this quote from the Course in Miracles, which I will share with you again. This is what Jesus says. If you want to be like me, knowing we are the same, I will help you. If you want to be different, I will wait until you change your mind. And you will change your mind. So Jesus would like it very much if you would get him out of diapers and off that cross and into your heart as a spirit of great love, of absolute consecration to loving service. That is the Christ. That is the example that our elder brother, Jesus the Christ, originally from Venus, came to earth to demonstrate, not as a show-it-off, but as a way-shower to show us the exact way we are to live and operate in our fellow, amongst our fellow human beings. And all he did was walk from place to place and help whoever and whatever showed up that needed help. He was hungry. If they were hungry, he fed them. If they were sick, he healed them. If they were demon-possessed, he cast the demons out. That's all he did. Walked from place to place, showed up, and was useful. That's what we're to do. The people that we are to help are in our face. They're right in our immediate presence. Okay? They're all around us. They're in our family. They're everywhere. That's where you love and you serve. And all the while, you watch yourself, fully aware that you are simply watching an actor in this divine cosmic play. But you stay in the balcony of soul awareness and just observe the plays of consciousness. So I hope this has been helpful to you. Again, use these keys that we give you each week. Try them out. And your key this week is to observe the states of consciousness and how they shift from moment to moment, day and night. So let's go out chanting a nice long Anahi Hu. Deep breath. Anahi Hu. Loving blessings and grace to each one of you. Namaste.